everyone. Welcome back to the Windows World Cup previews. This is our Group A preview. We're going to talk through the four countries that make up Group A: the Netherlands, Senegal, Ecuador, and host Qatar. These four teams make up an interesting group here. You've got all four from different confederations. You've got South America, Africa, Asia, Europe represented here. And it'll be interesting to see how these four teams come together. Qatar obviously is hosting. They came out of pot one for the draw. And when you look at the other teams in the Netherlands, Senegal, and Ecuador, I think all three of them would have to be happy with that draw, knowing that they're coming up against a team in Qatar that might not be at the same level as some of the other teams that came out of pot one. Playing against the host country is never an easy thing, but when you look at who it could have been, a lot of those countries would have to take Qatar. So we wanted to talk through this group. It's an interesting group. But first, wanted to welcome some guests that are joining us to go through the Group A preview. We've got Finn from the Netherlands. We've got Mo from Senegal. We have a few others that may or may not be with us shortly, but wanted to start and welcome both Finn and Mo. Finn, why don't we start with you? Just tell us a little bit about yourself, where people can find you on social media.
Yeah, so hi, thanks for having me on. Excited to talk about the group. I'm from a Dutch family, kind of grown up in England, but, you know, Dutch family. Support Netherlands, kind of, yeah, Dutch football obsessive. I've got a podcast all about the Dutch national team, Clockwork Oranje. On Twitter, it's just at Clockwork Oranje. It's just orange with a J. We'll be doing a lot of stuff during the World Cup, hopefully through the full month. But if we get knocked out after three matches, then I suppose not. But excited to talk about it all.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Mo, let's shift to you next. Why don't you tell us about yourself, where people can find you on social media as well?
I've been covering Senegalese football since AFCON 2017, basically the first time I watched them. Same thing, Senegalese family in America. You can basically just find me on Senegal English on Twitter. It's basically all I do. I don't have too much time on my hands to do a podcast. I might do that in future. Who knows? That's it. I cover a lot of Senegalese football, the Senegalese league, and just Senegalese players. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us as well. Want to start with Senegal and ask you about the squad themselves. They're a team that I think a lot of people have high expectations for within this group, beyond. When you look at the five African nations that are going to be at the World Cup, Senegal is the name that always comes up as the team that a lot of people are expecting to do really well, not only get out of the group, but be dangerous beyond that. Do you think that's a reasonable expectation for this team?
Most of the media, the Senegalese media, is actually very, very hopeful of a repeat of 2002. It's been 20 years since. A lot of people are saying, you know, probably quarterfinals. I, on the other hand, just kind of just want to get out the group stage, especially after 2018 and getting knocked out on yellow cards. Definitely just want to get out the group stage. That's the minimum requirement for me, especially how good this year has been. Winning the AFCON, qualifying for the World Cup right after that, having a really good, stable squad. Ali Cisse has been in charge since 2015 now. So just building off of that, for me, is all the minimum requirement, just getting out the groups. Other than that, I'm not too particularly sure we can get through the round of 16, depending on who we play. Most likely England, if we come second. But just for me, and a lot of other people as well, just getting out the group stage is the minimum requirement. Anything else than that, that's much more of a bonus. Definitely, for sure.
What do you think the Senegalese representation is going to be like in Qatar? Does it worry you that you're playing the host nation? It could be a really difficult environment for Senegal.
Difficult environment, I wouldn't really say. I think we're used to playing Arab countries, especially the North African sides. If you go far in AFCONs, you're going to play the North African side. So you get a little bit, you know, used to Arab sides, I guess you can say. Obviously, Qatar is a different side than Morocco, Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, you can say, definitely. But that game is definitely going to be an away game, you can obviously say, but I still think that the pressure would still be on us more than Qatar to get something in that game. Them and Ecuador are the main games that we have to do something in, not necessarily the first game against the Netherlands, for sure. That's what I think.
Finn, what do you think about the environment in Qatar? What do you think that's going to be like for the Netherlands? Do you feel similar to what Mo thinks of Senegal?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, obviously, it's a disadvantage against Qatar. They'll have a lot more fans there, but with, you know, no disrespect to Qatar or anything, but even so, it's not a massive concern. You know, I'd rather that than, you know, if the World Cup was being hosted in Senegal, for instance, and there were a load of Senegal fans, then I think that could make a difference, you know, because it's a quality team and that can be a kind of, you know, a tiebreaker. But yeah, against Qatar, I'm not too worried. And I think, yeah, against the other teams, obviously everyone's in the same boat. I don't think there's going to be massive representation, a massive group of fans for any team other than Qatar, really. Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction when you saw the draw?
I was pretty happy. Just because obviously it's pot one, everybody mm-hmm. wants Qatar, you know. Apart from Qatar, it's all the best teams there. And yeah, I just couldn't really believe our luck that we got it. Aside from that, I think it was actually two of the more difficult teams we could have drawn.
Agreed.
Senegal, obviously, African champions. They got a lot of good players. And Ecuador, I mean, you've got to be good to qualify from South America, right? It's such a competitive qualification process. So not an easy group by any means, but with the shape we're in, yeah, feeling pretty confident that we can get out of it as winners.
And I think that's a pretty good point, because from the draw, Senegal almost made it into the second pot. They were at the top of the third pot from a world ranking perspective. So just if you use the rankings, Senegal is one of the most difficult teams you could draw out of the third pot. And then Ecuador, because of the timing of their qualification, they went into pot four, even though if they were just from looking at a rankings perspective, they would not have been in pot four. So they really were not a pot four team, kind of how Wales was in pot four and ultimately ended up with England, USA, and Iran. So it's not the easiest draw, but when you're looking at the top two teams get out of the group, the expectation across the board, if you look at all the other pot one teams, everybody's expecting those seven teams to make it out of the group. And so not having that level of competition, I think is definitely going to make for a much more interesting group here. And certainly the teams that are coming out of pot three, pot four in Senegal and Ecuador, they can make it through. Mo, were you equally as excited about the draw when you saw where Senegal had landed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, being the main issue of being pot three and why I wanted to be pot two, there was a lot of better sides in pot two than a couple of other World Cups. Now, the Netherlands were definitely a side I didn't want. Germany, a lot of other teams in pot two that I really didn't want as well. But getting Qatar kind of flips it around a little bit. It kind of means that they're almost the pot one side, you can say. Mm-hmm. And then you can arguably say we're the pot two, Ecuador pot three, and Qatar pot four. It kind of flips mm-hmm. it when you get Qatar as the pot yep. one side. So, yeah, I was just happy to not get like just an absolute horror group like Japan had, Spain and Germany, yeah. or get Uruguay, Portugal, just like really, mm-hmm. really tough groups. You want a doable group for sure. And then you also want a doable group right next to you. That group B, I mean, that's a fun group. I don't know how that group's going to go, to be honest. But I would like to think that if we do get through to the knockout stage, we can be competitive against every single one of those pot group B sides. So yeah, overall, it could have been way worse. It's probably the best group we could have got, honestly.
Yeah. Want to ask a little bit about the Senegal squad. What to expect in Qatar? What do you think the starting 11 will look like? Do you think there'll be any surprises in there, or you think the team will look very similar to the squads that ultimately got them to the World Cup?
It's going to be very similar. Cisse recently has liked to use a bit of a 4-2-3-1. With Mane in a half 10, half 9 role that kind of just occupies any dangerous areas in the final third. With Ismaïla Sarr on the left, Crepin Jata on the right, and Boulaye Dia up top of Salernitana, I believe, of Serie A. Other than that, the only real position I think that is going to be up in the air is left back. At the AFCON, Saliu Cisse was fantastic, but he doesn't have a club right now. And ever since Aliou Cisse came in charge back in 2015, the minimum requirement, he said, was for you to have a club to be called up. If you don't have a club, you're not going to be called up. And a lot of people in the media are kind of on the fence about that. Saliu Cisse is probably Senegal's by far best left back. But if he doesn't have a club, then he really can't be coming along with the squad. So it's really a tough situation because we don't have a lot of depth in at left back or right back. So yeah, that's the one position that's really giving me some concern. There's obviously Fold Baloutore of AC Milan, but he's not playing any minutes. When you have Theo Hernandez, one of the best left backs in the world to compete with. Ismail Jacobs at Monaco, he's not getting that much game time as well. So left back is really our biggest issue. Other than that, midfield, Idrissa Gueye, Nicolas Mendy, that's a very solid midfield partnership right there. Two Premier League quality players, Edouard Mendy in goal, Koulibaly and Abdou Diallo as a centre-back partnership. Definitely the best in Africa by far. They were magnificent at the AFCON. They were the main reason we won, in my honest opinion. Abdou Diallo for me, player of the tournament. And right back, with Bruno Sar of Bayern Munich getting, I believe, some sort of ACL injury, so he's going to miss the World Cup. Youssef Sabali of Real Betis, if he's fit, should definitely be starting all the games, but it's always a question about his fitness. He missed the AFCON because of an injury as well, but he was the main reason for me why we beat Egypt in that second leg. So, only left back is really my only issue right now with the squad. Everywhere else I'm pretty content with. And then if we look at our bench and potential game changers, Elamin Ndiaye of Sheffield United has been unbelievable. He's honestly, probably since Sadio Mane, honestly, the player I've been so hyped about as a young talent coming through. So if he gets any minutes, I definitely expect him to really shine at Qatar. Definitely, if he gets enough minutes. Papa Sarr of Tottenham Hotspur is also pretty decent. Pop Gay, Bump Jang of both Marseille can also cause issues. So, yeah, a decent squad overall, I'd say.
I think you touched on something indirectly that you may not see with a number of the other African and Asian teams that are at the World Cup, is that you've got really top to bottom players that are playing in the top leagues around the world. The starting 11 you look at and what you expect, you know, Bayern Munich, Premier League, a lot of these teams that and leagues that are really the top in the world. I think you don't always see that with some of the other African and Asian teams. And I think that's a real reason why people are expecting big things out of Senegal is name familiarity. They know these names, they know they've seen them. And do you think that's a bit of just optics, or do you think that is really a differentiator for the team versus some of the other African nations?
I think it's a bit of both. I remember going into the AFCON final, a lot of people who don't watch African football automatically thought we were favorites because they saw an Egyptian side that was mostly domestic players, and then Mo Salah up top. But obviously those games against Egypt were way more tighter and way more stress-inducing than it looked like on paper. So, I mean, yeah, we have a lot of name familiarity, which makes us, you know, dark horses, you can say. But for me, the most important part of the squad is the, experience, basically. Like, all the players have been with each other for, like, most of the players have been there in the national team for, like, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Most of them have been there since Aliou Cisse took over and before that. So that's, for me, is going to be the most important thing for us getting out this group, is a very healthy squad, just only a couple injuries right now. Hope to God that's the only case between now and the next 18 days. Just familiarity with Cisse's tactics. I don't really think it's mostly about certain players, because there's certain players that play for big clubs that don't play any minutes, like Fold Baloutore at AC Milan doesn't play any minutes, really. A lot of other players in the squad as well. Nápoles Mendy at Leicester doesn't play that many minutes as well. So it's more about, for me, minutes than it is about the big club that you can say.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you as well there. Finn, want to ask you about the Netherlands squad a little bit as well. I think similar to Senegal, there's a lot of name familiarity, players at big clubs. What are you expecting out of this squad? Do you think there are players that might make the starting 11 that people aren't as familiar with, or do you feel like that is pretty set in stone at this point?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's a really strong squad, actually. I think it's the strongest squad we've had probably since 2010, 2012, you know, a good decade since that kind of generation of Schneider, Robin, Van Persie. And it's got, for the first time in a while, like you said, we've got players throughout the team playing for Europe's biggest clubs. And I think in the starting 11, really, off the top of my head, the only player that wouldn't be that well-known outside of the Netherlands would be Steven Berghaus, Ajax midfielder. He's only briefly ever played outside of Holland for Watford, and which wasn't a successful spell. But he's kind of, you know, revived his career since returning to the Netherlands. And aside from that, I mean, yeah, we've got a back three of Jurrien Timber, Virgil van Dijk and Nathan Ake, who I think, you know, two of them play for Liverpool and Man City. The other's a pretty well-known big talent. Then you've got Denzel Dumfries into Milan, Frankie de Jong, Barcelona. Then Daley Blind, Ajax, obviously people know him well. Memphis is Barcelona. Bergwijn, Ajax was at Spurs. And Cody Gakpo, who has never left the Netherlands yet, but given how well he's doing, he's pretty well known generally. So, yeah, it's a squad that have all kind of have credentials at Europe's biggest clubs. And it's a really strong one as well. I mean, you've got Matthijs de Ligt, Stefan de Vrij, Toon Koop Miners on the bench, which I think says a lot about the quality of it.
I wanted to ask Finn about a player who I don't think was on a whole lot of people's radars up until this season, actually.
I think we were going to ask the exact same question, actually.
I think I know who it is as well.
you very well may. I wanted to know if you thought that, you know, that our friend Louis might decide to take Xavi Simmons.
Yeah, that's the name on everyone's lips in the Netherlands at the moment. If you open a newspaper, it'll be either Cody Gakpo or Xavi Simmons there. I think it's such a unique situation that the World Cup is being held in the middle of a season. So Van Gaal's only had half a season to check out this player and see how good he is. You know, usually going into a World Cup, you've had a whole season behind you in which you can judge a player. I think if it is any other manager, I'd say no, it's too soon. I mean, this is the only senior football he's ever played, really. You know, he's 19 in 12 matches, maybe. But it's Louis van Gaal, who's renowned for kind of putting faith in youngsters, taking a leap. He's done it throughout his career, and I'm pretty confident he's going to do it again. I think because it's a bigger squad as well, obviously, 26. You can kind of just bring a bit of a wild card option. And Simmons is really versatile. You know, in our formation, he could play as a central midfielder, number 10, striker. So, yeah, it's pretty unclear. But if I had to guess, I'd say he's going to bring him, which is really exciting because I think just as an option off the bench, he could be so good.
Yeah, that was the point I was just about to make. Is that, yeah, I think having his skill coming off the bench would be a huge asset for the team. I mean, they're pretty deep as it is, but yeah, he seems to be in really good form right now. And so it'll be interesting to see what Louis decides to do.
Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers. Cause if like Davy Klaassen gets in the squad ahead of him, I'm going to struggle to justify that decision in my head, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. And you had a great point in that we are halfway through the season, and it's trying to find that right balance, because here on one hand you have a player that, you know, has improved substantially and has shown a lot over the last few months that he's good enough to make a World Cup squad, and on the other hand you have a Netherlands side that's so deep that you need to figure out, okay, do we have room for this player or not? And I don't know if I am as confident as you that he will ultimately be there, but I think he's a player that if they don't take him, you might look back at the next 2-3 years and see what he accomplishes on the domestic stage and think about how could we not have included him in the squad in 2022.
I agree. I think in terms of depth, I think it's worth taking 5 center backs instead of 6 to get him in, because we can have players cover in the back line, whereas we don't have anybody in our squad really that provides what he's providing at the moment. His kind of pace, a bit agility, dribbling, he's such a unique player in that sense. And I think if you're in a quarterfinal against a team like Wales or USA who have kind of started to sit back, hold on to a lead, there's no better player that the Dutch have at the moment that you could bring on. Really hope he is there. Yeah, crossing my fingers.
Wanted to take some time also to talk about the other two teams in the group in Qatar and Ecuador. Qatar obviously is hosting the tournament. And I think from a recognition perspective, especially on the international stage, I don't think that Qatar has gotten a lot of exposure really over the last 3-4 years. They've played mostly friendlies. They did participate in the earlier rounds of World Cup qualifying. There was a joint World Cup, Asian Cup qualification that Qatar participated in earlier in the round. And so they looked good. I think if you think about, would they have qualified for the tournament if they were part of Asian qualifying? I would think they probably would have come close. I think they're a quality enough side where they might not be on the same level as Japan or South Korea or maybe even Saudi Arabia. But from what we've seen from Australia and some of the other Asian sides, I think Qatar is a decent enough side that they may have qualified. But Joe, what do you think about that? Do you think Qatar would have made the tournament if they had gone through qualification?
Yeah, that's a really good question. My initial reaction is no. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. That's a really tricky question. Because there's so many circumstances that could go into that, right? What group they're in and et cetera. But mm-hmm. They're actually giving me really strong like South Africa 2010 vibes. I think they're gonna start off really strong. I think they'll be motivated to score the first goal of this World Cup. Right. But I think they might fade after that. Their squad is entirely domestic.
Yes.
They don't have anybody who's playing overseas right now. And, that doesn't necessarily have to be, a determining factor, but it does certainly play a significant role, I think. Obviously, if you're going to go somewhere in a tournament like this, you think you have to have players that are playing on an international stage, and they don't.
You
can talk about things like them having the home support behind them. I'll be very curious to see what the turnout is for the team in the stadium and how well supported they are. I will be brutally honest. I don't know a ton about really anybody on the Qatar team. So I can't really speak to that a whole bunch, but it just seems like to me that had they gone through regular qualification, I don't think they would have qualified.
Yeah, they do have familiarity on their side. They do have home support on their side that should help them a bit. I think it's a fair point. I think they probably would have missed out. I think it would have been close, but they would have been competitive. The thing for me with Qatar that I don't have a lot of optimism is really the results they've had against a lot of the teams that they're going to face are similar to the teams that they'll face in this group. They joined the Gold Cup last summer. They made a pretty deep run, but they didn't beat any of the teams that are going to be at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. If you look back at their record, they've been playing a lot of friendlies as well. Against teams that did actually make it in September, they lost to Canada 2-0. In last November, they lost to Serbia 4-0. They lost to Portugal 3-0 last October. They lost to Portugal 3-1. They lost to Serbia 4-0. They lost to the U.S. 1-0. They have not had good results at all against World Cup quality teams. Among the four of us, does anybody expect Qatar not to finish bottom of this group?
I wouldn't say
nope.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say. But I mean, only one World Cup host has ever missed out, and that was South Africa, right? And they only had they had 4 points or something like that. So I'm familiar with two of their players. I thought Akram Afif at the last Gold Cup was okay. Almoez Ali was the top scorer of the Asian Cup and back in 2019 when they won it. So at least they won a Continental Cup at the very least, but that was like nearly 4 years ago now. So I'm not sure. I don't know much about Qatar's players, so I can't really say much.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. I mean, they are the reigning Asian Cup champions, and they didn't lose a game at that Asian Cup or even draw a match. They really dominated, and that was not at home. So I think that's the thing with Qatar, is that really all of their success has been against other Asian teams. And when you look at this group, they're not going to be playing against any. So it'll be interesting to see what they are able to accomplish. But I think the expectations can't be that high for that group of players when you're looking at Ecuador, Senegal, and Netherlands as the competition. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. Ecuador is the other team in the group that it's in a lot of people's opinions, Ecuador and Senegal are going to be fighting to finish second behind the Netherlands. I think that's the general consensus of how this group is likely to look. But Ecuador, at the same time, they are a relatively new team to the international stage. They did reach the World Cup in 2014. Missed out in 2010 and 2018, but Ecuador is a team that really throughout all of CONMEBOL qualifying looked really strong. I think the expectations were not there, but they're a team that really improved and throughout South American qualifying showed that they deserve to be at the World Cup. Joe, what are your thoughts on the Ecuador squad, and what are your expectations from a team that has a few players that have been around for a while, but a lot of players that are relatively new to an international stage like the World Cup?
So this is a really fun team. I have enjoyed watching them all through this qualifying campaign. You and I have talked about them quite a lot, actually. And yeah, that they have a lot of what I'll say is like mojo. You know, I think on their side, defensively, they're very solid. I'm fully expecting them to actually get three draws out of this group and not be able to progress. Because I think going forward, I think that's their weakness. I think they're struggling to score goals. I think their recent form would hint to that. You know, in the last break, they could not score against Saudi Arabia or Japan.
Yep.
And then, you know, if you go back in some of their previous results, you know, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's been 6 games since they've scored more than one goal in a game.
Yep.
It might even be more than that, actually. 7, 8. Yeah. So it's been a long time, right?
It's 10 matches in a row without scoring twice.
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly that's an issue for them. And that, and obviously when you come to a World Cup, we heard in our show yesterday, right? Somebody mentioned that, you know, defense can win you championships. So, you know, that's true. But at the same point, like, I think there's going to come a time when they're going to have to find some goals. And I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to do that. But that being said, you know, you do have players. I mean, obviously, Enner Valencia is probably going to captain the team there. But he's no spring chicken anymore. He's 32 now. You know, but you've got other players that, you know, we've kind of heaped praise upon. Jeremy Sarmiento is a fun player to watch at Brighton and Hove Albion. as is, you know, they have players like Carlos Guerrero at Augsburg, who seems to be having a pretty good season. And then in kind of in defense, right, you've got Hincapié at Leverkusen, who is a player that, you know, you and I have talked about multiple times, that we seem to really like. You know, Estupinian is also a player, again, at Brighton. Brighton seems to have an Ecuadorian connection here. But, you know, so they do have players that are playing at a high level, and I think that's, you know, advantageous for them. But I struggle to see them being able to pip Senegal for second place in this group.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask most specifically, as you mentioned, in a lot of these names that you mentioned, I think if you compare the roster side by side between Ecuador and Senegal, I think you have to look at Senegal and think they have a stronger roster compared to Ecuador. Yes, you know, you mentioned some guys like Enner Valencia that have been around for a while, but I think top to bottom, if you look at Senegal, just from a strength perspective, I think you have to think that Senegal has a better side. But to your point, Ecuador knows that they don't score a ton of goals. That's not a surprise to them. I don't think they're unaware that that's their makeup and their style. And so how they play might be a little bit difficult to break down. So I wanted to ask Mo what you thought particularly of that matchup, because it's going to set the tone. It's the second match day where
no, it's the last one.
Actually. No, sorry, it's the last match day. Yeah. The final match day is Senegal against Ecuador. And both teams could be in a position where the draw is enough, but both teams might need a win out of that game. You know, we don't know what that'll look like. What do you think Senegal's strategy is going to be like against Ecuador, knowing that they're probably not a huge threat to score goals?
For me, it's going to be pretty similar to most of the teams that we played at the AFCON, and mostly Egypt. The main issue with Egypt was that they're a bit of a park the bus side, you could say, mm-hmm. quote unquote. Low block, barely any space in behind for most of our faster players like Mane, Sar, Jata to utilize. They need that space in behind to be dangerous. Without it, they can't really do much with it. They're not really technical players. We lack a lot of technical players, except for Lemina Njai at Sheffield United. But other than that, breaking down low blocks has always been Senegal's biggest issue. Whether it's teams like Egypt, Rwanda, any sort of side that just parks the bus, we struggle with. We barely score goals against sides like that. I mean, we only scored one goal against Egypt over those two legs, over those three games. So, yeah, those sides that park the bus are going to give us the most issue. I don't think Ecuador is going to do that. I don't think any of the sides we're going to play at the World Cup are going to do that. But if they do, we're going to be in a bit of issue. We don't have any real creative players. Idrissa Gueye is more of a defensive midfielder. Mane is more of a good poacher. Ever since he went to Liverpool under Klopp, that's how he became the player he is now, by being just a lethal finisher in the box. But if you can't really find him in the box, yeah, not really, not too effective in certain games. But in the role that Cisse has him in that half nine, half 10, it's probably been Mane's best form. I mean, this is the best I've ever seen Mane in a Senegal shirt this year. He scored like 10 goals, assisted close to 10 as well in the national team. So yeah, he's been on fire. So in that half 10, half nine role. So against Ecuador, probably the situation of the group might be either a win or a draw. If it is a win, I'm going to be pretty pessimistic of our chances. Because players like Gonzalo Plata, Mikel Estrada, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Those are pretty decent players I saw during World Cup qualifying, that could hit you on the break for Ecuador. Especially Gonzalo Plata. I really, really like him on the right hand side for Ecuador. I really like how he plays. But yeah, that would be my biggest issue, is just breaking down low blocks. If Ecuador do something like that, we could struggle. And they also do have a decent player in midfield, Carlos Guerrero of Augsburg. I watch a lot of the Bundesliga, so that's why I know players like that. Mm-hmm. He could cause us some issues as well in that midfield. So yeah, I mean, playing Ecuador last is what I wanted, but also not what I wanted in a way. But yeah, that's going to be the most important game in the group. Yeah, for sure.
Finn, what are your thoughts on Ecuador and Qatar? Do either of those teams worry you too much?
I wouldn't say worry. Definitely not Qatar. I think we'll be fine against them. I think Ecuador could cause us problems. Just if you look at our results, we have occasionally struggled against teams that sit back. We've kind of thrived when we have space to counterattack. You know, we've recently beaten Denmark really comfortably, beaten Belgium twice pretty comfortably. But we've drawn to Poland, for instance, just because we, when trying to get a goal, pushed too far forward and then get hit on the counter ourselves. So I think, you know, it could maybe cause us problems. But to be honest, I think that we've got the quality and the kind of versatility to beat both of them. I think one of Van Gaal's best strengths is how he can kind of tinker a team during a game, change the tactics, you know, to adapt to the opposition.
Yeah,
he did that in 2014 so well against Mexico. I think we played about five different formations in the last 20 minutes to get a goal and get through. And, you know, that's something I think he can do. I think he can find a way through a team that sits back, is assuming Ecuador and Qatar do. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident. I think with Ecuador, I think it's important how they start. I think if they get a massive win against Qatar, you know, they get their goal difference up, then they've got something to kind of sit back and protect. You know, you don't really, and then it goes into the last match, Senegal, Ecuador, if they've got a better goal difference and the team's a level on points, they can obviously be the ones to play it on their terms, to play for a draw. So I think a lot depends on how they start against Qatar.
Do you think it benefits the Netherlands that they finish with Qatar, potentially knowing that they might already be through, might give them an opportunity to adjust the squad a little bit and prepare for the knockout stages and see what player combinations work best?
I think so, definitely, yeah. I think if I could have picked the order of the games, I probably would have done this, to be honest. You know, get the toughest game out of the way first, knowing that if you draw that much because you're not fully in your rhythm, it's not really a disaster, I don't think. You know, if Netherlands and Senegal draw 1-1, and assuming, you know, they've both got the quality to win the other two, it just comes down to goal difference, so it's still on your terms. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with the order, and yeah, Qatar, ideally by then we're through, and we can, I don't think it's a good idea to rest too many players at a World Cup. You know, you don't want to lose rhythm. I think we've done that in the past and it's never really worked out well for us. So I don't think we change too much, but it would be good to, for instance, you know, if we think we might be coming up against Wales or Iran in the second round, who probably will sit back a bit more, it could be good to try a 4-3-3 formation again. We've been kind of playing a 3-4-3-5-2 system generally, so you know, it could be good to try that, kind of prepare for the knockout game. So yeah, I do think that's an advantage, hopefully, going into the last match of the groups without any pressure on us.
I wanted to ask Mo also, because we had mentioned Xavi Simons, and wanted to ask about Senegal, if there's a player that perhaps some aren't really expecting to either be in the squad or necessarily start, that you think might be able to make a big impact in Qatar.
Pat Matissar of Spurs, who hasn't gotten that many game time under Conte this season, is a decent player in midfield. He was really good against Iran in our friendly 2 months ago, almost now. He was also good against Bolivia, but Bolivia's Bolivia, I guess. Another player, probably Nicholas Jackson of Villarreal. He scored a couple of goals recently. I think one in the Conference League maybe last week or 2 weeks ago now. Scored a last-minute winner in La Liga, I believe, as well. He looks pretty good, a very good versatile forward player that can give us an option if we're training a game. Obviously, Eleman Ajayi again. I cannot wait to see what he becomes in 3 or 4 years. He's going to be a really, really good player. And then probably looking down in defense, if there's an injury in defense, maybe Moussa Niakate of Nottingham Forest. He's had a hamstring injury since like August or maybe September now. So I'm not sure if he's going to be fit enough to be in the World Cup squad next Friday. But other than that, not really. Maybe Youssef Sabali of Real Betis. Not really a young player, but a really, really good fallback. Probably one of the better fallbacks in Africa. Ashraf Hakimi. A couple other ones that I'm not thinking about right now. Definitely a good fallback. Doesn't get talked about that much because of his injuries, but yeah, he's a player that could definitely make an impact, I say. Yeah.
All right. Let's shift to predictions. I'm going to put you on the spot and demand that you make a prediction for the group and tell us who you think is going to win the whole thing. So, Finn, let's start with you. Who do you think wins the group? Who do you think makes it out of the group? And then who do you ultimately think wins the whole tournament?
I think the Netherlands top the group, trying to be completely unbiased as well. I think the first match against Senegal is going to be tight. I can definitely see Van Gaal playing it pretty conservatively. I think we'll kind of get ahead of from a set piece, win 1-0, that sort of match. I can see that happening. I think after that, we should be okay against the other two teams. So I'd say us going through with group winners. I think Senegal will get second, and I can actually see Senegal getting maybe even quarters because England look pretty dreadful at the moment. So I think that's definitely a possibility. As for how we'll do, I haven't gone into a tournament this confident about the Netherlands in a really long time. I think we'll definitely get through to the quarters, but it's a pretty difficult draw for us after that if everything goes as predicted. I think we'd get Argentina then, and I think we could beat Argentina, but then we'd go up against Brazil in the semis, and Brazil are the team I think are going to win it all, which is a very boring answer, but I think they're the big favorites for a reason. I mean, the depth they've got is just crazy in every position, you know. I mean, if they went to the World Cup with the second starting 11, I think they'd still get pretty far. So yeah, I think we've got a shot at winning it, which I haven't felt since kind of 2012 maybe, and well, we lost every match and went out in the groups in that year, is so not a good sign. But yeah, this is the first time in like a decade that I've gone into tournament thinking we can win it. But I think, you know, the task of beating Argentina and Brazil back to back would just be a little too much. So yeah, I think we can get semis. I think Brazil will win it.
I think Joe will agree with you if you haven't changed your pick. Are you going to stick with Brazil?
I'm sticking with Brazil, but I do have to say, and I think maybe we mentioned this before on a different show, but you know, Netherlands, I think there's an argument to be made that they're one of the stronger European sides in this tournament, and you know, so I do expect them to go far, and I'm excited for that because, you know, they have a great group of fans, I do think there will be a substantial group in Qatar, or at least I'm hoping anyways. Yeah, sticking with Brazil, but I think, you know, Netherlands will top the group and Senegal is in second.
Mo, what are your thoughts?
Well, biasedly, I think we're winning the whole tournament without actually conceding a goal. But being legitimately probably second. The Netherlands are one of the top five teams ever since Louis van Gaal took charge like this time last year after the Euros. So, yeah, them, Denmark, Brazil, Argentina, they look really, really, really good. Probably just second. If we get England, we get England. We probably won't get England, judging by their form. Probably a different team that tops the group, probably Iran. That group is just crazy. I have no idea how that group's going to go, in all honesty. Yeah. So I don't know who will play in around 16. Like I said before, we get to the knockouts. I'm happy with that one. Who I think will win it? Serbia, maybe. I guess I'm saying that because Serbian football's Twitter account has always been saying they're going to win the World Cup on my feed all the time. So I might as well just say Serbia. But yeah, being realistic, probably boring answer, Brazil or Argentina. They look really good, both of those sides. Yeah. So
we haven't talked to the Serbian guy yet, but he's on one of our future shows. Yeah. Up, so, we'll see what he says about that.
I'm sure he will pick Serbia to win the World Cup, but they are a good team. They certainly are a good team, and they've got a lot of really good players that I think are really coming together at the right time and playing well. So I certainly think it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to make a run in the tournament too. So definitely one of the nations I'm looking forward to. I am going to stick with pretty much the rest of the group here. This is one group that I feel hasn't really had a lot of different predictions. I think Netherlands topping the group, Senegal finishing second, probably Ecuador third, and Qatar fourth, seems to be a really strong pick for most people. in terms of what they expect. I don't really think there's the expectation that there's going to be a lot of upset here. I think you might see some Ecuador favoritism from some of their fans, and it's certainly Ecuador is a solid squad that could easily get out of the group. It's certainly not impossible that they get out of the group. I'm going to stick with the rest of the group, though, and think that it's going to be the Netherlands and Senegal to finish second. I like Brazil, like the rest of the group. The Netherlands is a team, actually, for me, that I think is going to go really far, and they're going to be my pick to win the whole tournament. So I think that they really are playing well. Their form is something that, to me, really stands out, especially compared to the other European teams. You look top to bottom at the form of everyone in Europe, and I think you can certainly make the case that the Netherlands is the best team in Europe right now. Just looking at form, what they've accomplished, and really the talent on the roster. And so I expect them to go pretty far in this tournament. And really, when you get to the quarterfinals or semifinals, all the teams that are left at that point are good enough to win the whole thing. When you're looking at the Netherlands against an Argentina or Brazil, on any day, any of those teams could really win. So I think it's going to be really open at the end, and I'm going to stick with the Netherlands as the team I think will win the whole thing. So Finn, what do you think about that? Do you think it's impossible, or is that being too optimistic?
No, I genuinely don't think it's impossible. I always try to hold back a bit, not to try and sound like the crazy biased fan, but I really think we can. Yeah, I think we are the strongest team in Europe at the moment. I think we've got probably the best manager at the tournament. I mean, I'm pretty sure, I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure if you don't include penalty shootouts, we haven't lost a match under Louis van Gaal since 2002 across three spells with the team. And he knows how to set up a team not to lose. You know, he maybe doesn't know how to break down teams all the time, but he knows if he wants to get a 0-0, he'll get a 0-0, you know. So I think then it obviously depends on kind of penalties or whatever, but I think we've got the quality, we've got the manager, we've got the squad. It's just and Brazil are the only team there that I think we'd go up against, and in my head we wouldn't be favorites. I think anyone else I think we beat, which is, yeah, exciting and also scary, because it's going to hurt even more now if we have a terrible tournament. But I don't know. I feel like it'd be good. I mean, you know, if it's Van Gaal's last tournament as well. He's fighting cancer at the moment. So what a story that would be as well. And in my head, it kind of feels like it's meant to be in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a few teams that are entering the tournament on some really impressive unbeaten runs. Argentina is obviously the team that a lot of people think of, because they're the team that have that super long streak that always gets brought up. But the Netherlands, equally, they have not lost since June 2021 against the Czech Republic. So they're coming in on a really strong note. And even looking back further, there have been consistently good results. So they're definitely a team that's in the mix of those teams that can really win the whole thing. All right. So, Ahmed, thanks for joining us here. We just went through some predictions and just wanted to hear a little bit from you. Thanks for joining us before we depart. But just wanted to hear your thoughts a little bit on the Qatar national team. And there's not been a lot of optimism from the group in terms of expectations. And what are your thoughts about where the team will land as we head into the World Cup?
First of all, I'm really, really sorry for the delay. I got caught up in work. I wasn't able to join. So my sincere apologies about that. And as far as the national team is concerned, I think this is the biggest moment in the career of all of these players. So the first thing that they will be, they will need to take care about is the pressure that they will be under. So regardless of the opposition, the first game is always going to be very, very difficult for them. And Ecuador is an opponent that they've played before. They've had previous experience against them. They've defeated them in Doha a few years ago. But this is a very different team that they're going to face on the 20th of November. So I'm To be honest, if I'm to be really realistic, I think this is as challenging as it gets. I don't really see the team getting out of the group. But if I'm optimistic, I'd say if the team manages to play in the same way that they did at the Asian Cup with the same kind of momentum, they could eke out a win against Ecuador and then see where that takes them forward. So 4 points, will that be enough? If it is enough, then we could see them go into the next stage as runners-up, and that will be an amazing, amazing result for them.
How do you think the experience is going to be like playing at home? It's something that we talked about a little bit, and some of these other teams in the group, in Ecuador and Senegal and the Netherlands, they should be outnumbered. Qatar's playing at home. What do you think the environment's going to be like in Qatar?
Well, Qatar has always had a great time playing at home. If you look at their record in the tournaments that they've hosted, like the Gulf Cup, the Arab Cup, and also in the Asian Cup in 2011, and they've enjoyed playing in front of their home crowd. And this is going to be an experience quite like nothing, because they haven't had the, I think, 30,000 fans at Al Bayt Stadium in the opening game of the World Cup is going to be an amazing experience for them. So I hope that will be an impetus for them, something that encourages them to do their best. And it will be something that they will carry forward. That's something that will carry the team forward. But then again, not everything is dependent on the crowd support. So I'm not sure how important a factor that it will be. But it will definitely be a great experience for them to play in the nation's first ever World Cup and to do that at home.
Yeah, and as we're wrapping up here, I just want to take the time and ask you real quickly, just players to watch. Who do you think within the Qatar national side is someone that, you know, as we were talking through the group, there's probably not as much familiarity with a lot of the Qatar players as there is with some of the others that may play abroad. Who are the players that we should keep an eye out for on the Qatar national team?
I think anyone who takes a very brief look at Qatar's games throughout the last 4 or 5 years will know for sure that Akram Afif is the star man on the list. And he is at the core of the team. It's from him that all of the attacks begin. And even if you look at the Asian Cup, where maybe the spotlight was taken by Al-Muizz Ali, who was the top scorer in the tournament and also the MVP, most of his goals were supplied by Akram Afif. And Akram is at the heart of every attack. So if, God forbid, Akram gets injured, is unavailable for a game, I think that is like a death blow for the national team, and especially for a player like Al-Muizz Ali, who is a very good goal scorer, but he's very dependent on the service provided by Akram Afif. So without Akram, there is not much creativity in the team, and that could be one of the big negatives of this team.
What are your expectations for the group? Who are you predicting to make it out of the group, and then who do you think is ultimately going to win the World Cup?
For this group, definitely I would pick the Netherlands as the winners, and probably Senegal to go and as runners up, and the eventual winners. I think Argentina have a good shout for this edition, and why not Brazil?
I think your predictions and the rest of the group's predictions align very well. There's been a lot of optimism for the Netherlands, and especially competition outside of the group. Brazil and Argentina certainly feel like they're really strong this year and will be contenders to win the whole thing. So your predictions are definitely aligned with the rest of the group here. I just wanted to thank you again, Ahmed. I know you didn't get a chance to introduce yourself when you joined. Just wanted to quickly, if you want to introduce yourself and where people can find you on social media as well.
Yeah, my name is Ahmed Hashim, and I've been covering Qatari football for almost a decade. And you can find me on AHMED_93, which is my personal account. and also on Qatar Football Live, QFOOTLIVE, which is a platform that I run with a friend where we cover Qatari football in English, both on Twitter and Instagram. And we've been doing that for a couple of years now. And our mission is to translate content from Arabic to English and take Qatari football to the world.
That's awesome. Really excited that you're able to join us. Are you going to any matches, or how many matches are you going to see in the tournament?
I'm going to six games, and two of them are Qatar versus Netherlands and Qatar versus Senegal. I haven't got tickets for the opening game, but I'm still trying. I've also had the luck to get tickets for Brazil, France, Croatia versus Belgium, and a couple of pre-quarter games as well. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, again, just want to thank the group for joining us. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. We're at Window INDL Pod on Twitter. The Window would bring you anything international football related, World Cup, all the continental tournaments. We've got previews, reviews, and things along those lines. You can find Joe on Twitter at 12th Yank. You can find myself and We Global Football at @we_global. Bring you all kinds of statistics and predictions and things like that for the international game. So just wanted to thank you all for listening and looking forward to Group A at the World Cup.
Thanks, everyone.